with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll put a bow on the high school sports season today. Look back at some of the highlights from the year, from the school year. Maybe even look a little bit forward to what's coming next year as the high school sports season around here officially ended yesterday in absolute heartbreaking fashion. For the Elk City Elks baseball team in the quarterfinals of the state tournament, a 3-2 eight-inning loss to Chickasha. What went wrong yesterday? Give you kind of the final stats of what has to be considered the greatest career in the history of Elk City baseball with Cash, Mayfield, and then a little look ahead there as well. As the Elks, if you're one of those folks that think, oh, well, they missed their shot with Cash, I wouldn't be so soon to believe that way. There's a lot of reason to be excited about the future that Elk City Baseball holds. Also, Thunder falling Game 2 last night to the Mavs, 119-110. I don't know if the game was a story or what happened afterwards. We let you guys decide as we play some audio from Luka Doncic's press conference.
We're going to play that?
Absolutely, we're going to play that. It was over worldwide television. Hell, why can't we play it?
It's news.
I mean, it is. I'm not the one that... I mean, we were in the Hummer. We didn't have that.
Hummer.
Yeah, that's the reason I put it that way. And you'll know why when we play that audio. And then Scotty G is in the house. It's a Garrison Financial Friday. Have you kept up any with what's going on in golf here this last couple of weeks?
I have not.
All right, so Rory was going to be back onto the policy board of the PGA Tour, and now Rory's not going to be back on the policy board of the PGA Tour. I wonder why. I think I know why, but we'll see what you guys think. And how much money are we talking about that is at stake here in the next whatever, whenever they decide? And also, do you think... Oh, we'll just get into it. I'm going to ask the questions and get your answers as we go. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can always stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon app is free, and it's got everything. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV. During the high school sports seasons, you can watch games through that app. And then also the Skinny on Sports podcast is available wherever podcasts drop if you miss one of our shows. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Doing good. Good.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, looked like Rory McIlroy was going to be back onto the PGA Tour policy board. And a big reason why that matters, at least right now, more than maybe a lot of other times in the history of PGA Tour golf, is because of the looming decisions of LIV, the PIF, what sort of merger might be happening or allowed to happen, or will it not be? You know, Rory was one of the most staunch defenders of the PGA Tour when this thing started. As the years have gone by, and can you believe that, like, some of these guys' three-year contracts with LIV are running out this summer?
It's far out.
It does not seem like it's been that long, but it turns out, I guess it has. But anyhow, as it's moved along, you can tell that he has gotten more comfortable, more friendly with the idea of what I would call a world tour. Some sort of merger with them, or everybody pulling on the same rope. There's still those guys, and one of them in particular, that doesn't appear to be in favor of that, and that is Tiger. So a couple weeks ago, looked like Rory was back. Now Rory is not back on the tour's policy board. And it also appears that Tiger has taken more of a leading role than maybe he was having throughout the process. Why?
It's an interesting question.
Why would that be the case?
It's an interesting question. End of last year was starting to look like the tour and LIV were going to merge and be one tour. FTC said, Federal Trade Commission said, hold on. That's not just your decision to make. I don't think they ever would allow it, honestly. So there's that, but yeah, obviously there are some other people on the PGA board that are still very hardline against a merger.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Whether or not you agree with it or not, I don't know why that certain things or certain people ruffle the feathers of government the way that apparently all of a sudden the Saudis do, even though we take money in every other facet of life from the Saudis.
And give money
and weapons and all of that to the Saudis. But all of a sudden, when it comes to professional golf, for some reason, that is the line in the sand.
That's where our morals...
That's where our morals stop at golf. That's it.
Yep.
And I honestly think that some of the people in the know on the PGA Tour side, whether or not they would want to merge with LIV Golf or not, I think that they know it's not going to be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, it's almost like a pipe dream that you might as well get rid of in your mind and figure out how to find those funds and the financing that PIF was going to allow from another source. And they obviously did that to a smaller extent back a few months ago with infusing a couple of billion dollars into everything that is the PGA Tour. Now, is that the best? I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be allowed to happen. Is that the best thing for golf, though?
At this point, it's been such a train wreck, all of it has, that I think that it might be the best thing for golf for the PGA Tour to move forward, to find to adjust the way that they've done things, probably find some type of guaranteed income.
Which they've kind of done.
Yeah.
Since LIV has been, on the map.
Right.
Not nearly to that level, but they also have a lot more guys to worry about.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And the question is, that's the biggest question. We all sat back and we watched golf for all those years and thought it was a big deal when a guy won $1 million. And LIV Golf comes in with these contracts that are just unbelievable. So where did all the money go that was in the PGA?
That is what, I mean.
That's the lingering question.
Love him or hate him, and I happen to have not really enjoyed him over the years, but he was absolutely right to ask this question multiple times before he left, and that was Phil.
Yeah.
No, he always said that.
Yeah.
Where's all this going? You're not giving it all to charity.
No.
That's not happening. You might want to say you are, but you're not. I wonder, for the golf fans, does anybody care? Like, how do I ask this question? Just for a golf fan, do you care if there's one or two tours as long as when it gets time for the majors, when it gets time for the Ryder Cup, those certain events that everybody wants to watch, as long as everybody's there, do you care what happens the rest of the year?
I can tell you, as a complacent golf fan that doesn't really keep up day-to-day stuff, I don't care. I couldn't care less. I want to see the biggest names at the Masters and the Open and the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup, yeah. And other than that, I couldn't care less.
What about you, Jared?
Yeah, I'm like you. You know me. I'm a novice fan. I want to see the big names play on the big stage.
Yeah. But
to sum it up, I mean,
I will also say that, yeah, the probably part of the reason I don't pay any attention to any of the other tournaments at all is because there are so many big names that are not there.
Yeah, and it really hurts at this time. Just so happens that when the focus is like this on a lot of the tournaments not having the best players or the biggest name players, then when they do play, they haven't played very well this year.
Yeah.
And so that hurts even more. You know, outside of Scottie Scheffler, a bunch of those other guys have really kind of spit the bit. Now, you looked this week, first round at Quail Hollow, there's a bunch of those guys up there.
Yeah.
Now, there's only 60 of them in the field or whatever because it's one of those elevated events. But, you know, it's the problem for the tour is they're in a rock and a hard place because TV contracts are going to be coming up and the needle is not going to be there anymore.
No.
And so how do you navigate these waters of uncertainty without some of the biggest draws, TV-wise, being on your tour? I think, looking back, if I don't know why it was leaked when it was leaked about the merger. I don't know if it was somebody that was against it. I don't know if it was somebody's buddy in the government, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But it certainly
if looks... there's one thing we've learned about our government, it's that they make a lot more decisions than we thought they did, and they do a lot of it under the table.
Yeah, they're normally pretty awful at it, too, if we're just being real honest.
Yeah.
But I wonder how that all came about, because, you know, that seems like something that, and maybe both sides thought it was a done deal, and then they ran into the FTC stuff, and
yeah,
it kind of fell apart, at least for now.
So that's the biggest question is, you mentioned it, a lot of these guys, their first contract's about to end with LIV. They know the merger's not going to happen. It's not. It's not going to happen. I mean,
at least not right now.
Do the Saudis have plenty of money? Yeah, they got plenty of money. But how long do you keep throwing a big bucket of money at something that's not reaping the benefits that you thought it was going to reap? Because the end goal was a foothold in the PGA Tour. I mean, that was the end goal, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. From it was Yasser a, and the and
yeah,
the PIF.
It was never about having two separate leagues.
No, I don't think so either. I think it was a start this to get that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you bring up a really interesting question, because it does not look like by the time these contracts run out for these first three, you know, first three-year contracts for these guys, it does not look like there's going to be a solution that would be what at least that side wanted. And I think there's more of a growing number of PGA Tour guys that are kind of looking around going, man, we've really made a lot of money these last two decades. And the reason why we made all that money isn't going to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody really want to watch me. We need everybody. We need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
As one to be able to generate even close to the revenue from TV that we have in the past.
I saw an interview here just a while back. I can't remember who it was. It was a big name. And what did he say? I can't remember the course that he was talking about, but he said, am I ever going to win it at so-and-so course? And he said, no, but they're giving away 20 grand for 16th place.
Yeah, Kevin Kisner.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, okay. and then he ends up being on TV.
yeah, you know? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I mean, is LIV going to... You know, you're going to give an $80 million contract for another 3 years to somebody that isn't really, you know, how many of those guys that are on the LIV Tour that have very significant contracts have not shown in one of the majors at all?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of those guys that were kind of at or over the hill.
Other than Kupka and Rahm.
Yeah, the younger ones have been fine.
Yeah.
It's those Phil, Poulter, Sergio.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson has done terrible.
DJ, Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
It's been that group of guys that haven't really done anything.
Mm-hmm.
For Liv.
Bubba Watson's daughter made more putts at the Masters
yeah,
than he
did. True. I think I made just as many. So I think it's a. If the FTC thing, the government part of this was out of it, do you think we'd be having a totally different conversation and this merger would have taken place?
Yeah, there was so much pressure. And there's another question. Did somebody that wanted to make sure this merger didn't take place get a hold of the FTC and say, hey, this can't happen?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. How did it leak?
Yeah.
It almost has to be something like that. And...
yeah.
Who was it?
It'll come out.
Is it Jay Monahan who's worried about losing his PG position as the president or whatever of the PGA Tour?
Handled it so well. He handled the entire thing so well.
Is it Tiger? Who's obviously a staunch PGA Tour guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, last question about this. Because those contracts are running out for some of those guys, and you know good and well that Liv would be more than happy to replace a handful at least with more relevant names. And because now the PGA Tour contract, CBS and NBC, rolls through 2030. So maybe not this time, maybe next time. But is this a sign that as soon as it's possible, do we see Rory heading to Liv?
It's a lot easier decision for the European guys than it is for the Americans, I think.
You know, there's been lots and lots and lots of smoke around, like Xander, Schauffele, and Patrick Cantlay through this time about them being possible candidates. Do they kind of... You know, to me, it all boils down to one simple question. And if its answer is yes, you're going to see, I think you'll see a bunch of guys leave. And that one simple question is, can we play the majors?
Yeah.
And the thing that's probably saved the PGA Tour as much as anything so far is not restructuring the world golf rankings to allow those live tournaments to build up points and those guys to be able to have a fair shake in qualifying for the majors. You know, we just saw, you know, Taylor Gooch, sort of the, you know, he didn't get a Masters invite, even though he'd won 3 live tournaments. Well, guess what? The boys at Augusta don't care.
Yeah.
Now.
So if you don't finish in the top 10.
Yeah, or whatever it is. If you don't qualify by our, you know, and they're never going to with the official world golf rankings the way they are. They're never going to be high enough. What you're going to have to do is do what Koepka did last year and win a major.
Yep.
To be able to kind of, to be able to be involved in the majors, in qualifying for Ryder Cup, qualifying for President's Cup, those couple of times a year that the Liv guys get to play, they have to take advantage. And to your point, other than him, they really haven't. They really haven't.
No.
PGA Championship next week. It's like, whoa, another major coming.
Yeah.
Valhalla. Supposedly Tiger shot 62 this week. Don't we hear this every time?
Oh, we do.
Before every major.
Yes.
Oh, he's playing great.
Oh, this is the one.
And then he makes the cut and falls apart.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is.
As one of the biggest Tiger fans of all time, I'm about over it.
Yep.
That's not what he is. He's not a ceremonial make the cut, doff your hat to the crowd type guy.
When we get to Sunday and he's in the top 5,
now that's
call different. Me.
That's
I'm dialing in.
I'm gonna say when we get to Sundays in the top 20.
Yeah.
When he doesn't look like a broken down mule.
Yeah.
That's when you call me, like, oh, huh, look at there.
I'm with you.
It's been a while. Okay, last night, Thunder fall, 119-110 to the Dallas Mavericks. It was a very interesting game. The Mavs came out like you would expect them to come out, down 0-1 with force. They played knockdown shots. Different guys played way better than they did in game one. And then after it was all over, Luka was going to talk to the press. And I can't wait for this person to be outed that caused this scene in the bowels of the Paycom Center. You gotta watch the video of this, because as soon as those noises start happening, he looks up at everybody, he looks up at the sky, like, and then he just immediately ducks his head for just a second, and then he comes back and starts laughing. Like, what is going on?
Oh, man.
How would you have handled that situation? Either
and
of you.
Like how? Like being Luka?
Yeah, let's
or just
start
being
with,
in the room in general?
No, we're going to go to a lot of different angles. Let's start with if you're Luka.
Exactly.
I think he handled it well.
Yeah, I thought he did. He kind of looked around like, what's going on? Then he made a quick little joke, and then they moved on. He carried on with the question. That's how I probably would handle it.
Okay. What if that
it
was your...
It would have been great if he'd have said, whoever that is, that's going to make you go blind. Or something like
that's
that.
Good.
So now, what if it was your phone?
Well, one time in high school, we're taking a test. I just remember this distinctly. And somehow I let one rip. I tooted in class. I just did this. I looked at the person behind me like, what are you doing? Yeah. So if it was my
that
phone, I'd probably look around and go, who's this? Whose phone is that?
Yeah, and guess what? Everybody then knows it's yours because Smeller's the feller.
That's it.
Yeah, but no. Or I just go, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. I'm not welcome back here anymore.
Yeah, like Jeremy said, he said, well, I hope that's not live.
Yeah, that's what Lucas said. That was funny. That was funny.
Oh, my gosh.
The game itself, I tell you what. I know Jim gets on to some of the Thunder people, Matt Pinto especially, but you want to talk about entertaining. I mean, it was right when we were coming back last night. Mm-hmm. And he is incredibly entertaining. Just if you don't take what he's saying too seriously – and just want to be entertained. Maybe at one point, he accused Ed Malloy, which is one of the refs, of maybe having a Dallas t-shirt on underneath his ref outfit.
Who did?
Matt Pinto.
Oh, wow.
The radio guy.
Radio.
For the
oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, he just...
I want to see Charles Barkley talk about what happened at the press conference.
Oh, man. I haven't seen anything from that.
They might bring it up tonight.
Yeah.
It'll get brought up.
Yeah, Jeremy said that's like 10 cups shanking it on the range going, who did that? We're supposed to be pros here. Oh, how great would it have been back in the day with the Jeremy Ettinger, Mike Stout trio going to those games if it was one of theirs.
Oh boy.
Oh, that would have been fantastic. Thunder tied. There's a series tied 1-1 headed down to Dallas. What is going on at Garrison Financial?
Hey, we are just constantly viewing the market, constantly looking for opportunities. Also, just helping people kind of handle their finances all the way around. Come in, let's take a look. Let's take a look at what your life insurance looks like, and where your savings are, and what we can do to make your money work more efficient for you.
How much does, say, what's going on in the court system right now with our former president, does that have a big effect? I know, like yesterday, there was a bunch of stuff that came out that probably good for him and maybe not so good for those folks wanting him to go to jail. Do you notice moves in that, or are you going to have to wait till the whole thing is over and everyone knows he's really not going to go to jail and be able to run and be on the ballot in November?
There was a great podcast, and if you really want to dive into that, those are big conversations. But the market really doesn't care
yeah.
until the news is the news.
Okay.
The market doesn't care until it's all laid out. Now, it's crazy because the market doesn't really care about things like that. But if Jerome Powell comes out and says we might make an interest cut, then the market just skyrockets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a weird world. But, yeah, as far as news goes, the market really doesn't care. 9 out of the last 10 election years, the market has gone up.
Which was the one that didn't?
I'd have to go back and look.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It was on that podcast that listened to. Yeah.
I would venture a guess it would have been 1976.
I don't know. I'd have to go back Jimmy and take
Carter,
a look.
Or heading into that maybe, just because it was in such disarray.
Yeah. It was kind of it was pretty bad.
All right,
76
Scott,
or 80?
Yeah, 80 would have been 80 election. 80. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been the 80 election. Scott at SoonerWealth.com, 124 North Main, 821-1219.
Come see me.
All right, thank you, sir. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm playing in the member guests.
Are you playing? Who are you playing with?
Well, right now it's Keener and Roy and Twyman are on my tee box. Come on.
Well, who's your partner?
Keener. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like member guest.
Well,
sounds like member.
Sounds
member.
Like member, doesn't it?
All right, Scott out at SoonerWealth.com. It's Garrison Financial Friday. We'll have to ask him next Friday how he did.
Oh, we don't need to do that.
Unless you win.
That's true.
All right, when we come back, talk a little bit more about the basketball. Obviously, the baseball yesterday with the Big Elk season ending in the quarterfinals of the state tournament. High school sports wrap coming as well. Skinny on sports on a Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Whoa, whoa. Skinny on Sports. Garrison Financial Friday back here on the Sports Animal. All right, let's go through first the basketball game we got to listen to all the way home last night. I don't know about you, Jared, but it's easy to say this now after what happened to me. The Thunder came back multiple times from double-digit deficits, actually took a lead in the third quarter. But I will say this. From the very beginning, Dallas was clearly aggressor. Oklahoma City's defense wasn't nearly up to the level that it had been in the previous five playoff games. And even though, yes, they took their only lead in the third quarter, to me, with the tone that was set to be a more offensive game than defensive game, to me, the Thunder lost that game when it lost control of Dallas's offense in the very early stages, down 13-2 before you could even blink.
They're constantly playing catch-up, I think took them out of their rhythm and out of their game plan. Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, and then when they caught up on multiple occasions, at one point taking a lead, you got to give Dallas a lot of credit. They came out of the corners with haymakers, and all of a sudden you blink and they're up double digits again. So, you know, got to give them credit. They were kind of they knew that was – I know it's early in the series to say this, but for the Mavs, I think they felt like this is a must-win with how we match up against this team and our questionable health. We have to win this game to give ourselves a chance at any chance in this series. I'm not – so, I mean, not counting out the Thunder by any means, but still, you got to give them a lot of credit on that side. And, you know, it's going to be talked about, the whistles and the calls. Again, we listened, so, you know, we heard the one-sided opinion about that, but I didn't see the full game. You know, you watch the highlights, they're not going to show you all the high or low lights of a questionable call. But my phone was blowing up on the review that when we stepped out to go get something to eat, I thought we'd step back in the car hearing that review was overturned on the call about being in the that should have been a charge and not a foul on was that J. Will, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And it was not and overturned, and apparently it was really egregious, allegedly, from my guys texting me. I don't know what you've heard, but one call is not going to change the game, or one review, failed review, is not going to change a game. Overall, though, you're right. The Thunder came out a little lackluster. I think that start took them out of rhythm and took them out of maybe their game plan, and they had to readjust. And quite frankly, just from listening to it, just didn't sound like they shot the ball very well. Obviously, early they didn't, but when they needed to make runs, they did. But then when they got there, they started missing more shots that you're accustomed to seeing them make. So it's basketball. And sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. Series isn't over. I mean, we didn't fully expect them to go perfect throughout this playoff run. But hate that you gave up home court, though. So would love to see them at least protect the home court.
Well, you're going to have to win a game on the road in every series you play in order to win the series. There's very, 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 very rarely in a seven-game series does the home team win every game. As much as, you know, missing shots, they did get back from the slow start, even though the tone was set by Dallas on the offensive end. But to me, one of the most key parts of the entire thing was the Thunder come out of the third quarter locker room. They immediately, from down six, they get it back into the game. They eventually are up three. Luka's on the bench. You're up three. And it seemed like there was like four out of six possessions where they turned the basketball over. And next thing you know, Dallas is back up seven. Dallas is back up nine.
Yeah.
And to me, I think it was a 15-4 run that turned a three-point lead into an 8-point deficit. P.J. Washington was awesome throughout the game, but that was also that point where all of a sudden Tim Hardaway was in the series. You know, you get 46. It's kind of like, okay, do you want to look at it as glass half full or glass half empty? Because in one way, you can say Thunder lost by nine with P.J. Washington and Tim Hardaway Jr. scoring 46 points.
Right.
Problem is, the other way you can look at it is Thunder lost by nine and Kyrie only had nine?
Yeah, yeah. Or you couldn't stop those guys from scoring 46 combined points?
Well, I mean, they're just making corner threes sound like to me over and over
defense?
And over.
Where's that defense?
Well, that's the part where if Luka – see, in the first game, Kyrie Irving didn't look like he knew there was anybody else on the floor and he wasn't passing. And he only had three assists. Last night, they immediately started with him on ball, Luka off ball, and he ends up with 11 or 12 assists and controlled the game without having to score. And that's the brilliance of both of those guys, to be honest with you. And I think part of it was by necessity because Luka, even though he played well with 29, he still isn't healthy. You can tell. I mean, he's limping up and down the floor sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just playing possum, maybe not. But, yeah, that's the bench in the first game for the Thunder just waxed Dallas's bench. Last night, different story. And Dallas got contributions. That's always been the question mark. Mm-hmm. You know you're probably going to get from two of them, even though Kyrie wasn't. But P.J. Washington picked him up at 29, and then you had a couple of double-digit scorers off the Mavs bench in Green and Hardaway. And that negates what one of the biggest, to me, one of the biggest weaknesses or advantages in the series is the depth of the Thunder, and it wasn't the case last night.
I'll go half glass full, glass half full, not a half glass. Anyways, I'll say, because I got home and my wife's like, "Oh, the Thunder lost." And yeah, and she's like, "What happened?" And I immediately said, "Listen, I don't know if they can shoot. Their bench can shoot like that this entire series. That was kind of a flash in the pan. I hope so. They'll be all right."
Game three tomorrow, 2:30 down in Dallas. All right, let's switch.
Cool. Final thought.
Yeah.
Kudos to the Mavs. I don't know if they took the crowd out of it, but they kind of silenced them enough with that start, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, again, there's a rhythm to all this, and the crowd was out of sync too. And that's how you do it on the road. You have to come out early and fight early, and then you kind of eliminate the crowd. So Thunder's going to have to do that tomorrow. tomorrow afternoon in Dallas. They have to come on out because that crowd's going to be raucous and going crazy. So they got to come out and return the favor to their crowd.
All right, yesterday, Class 4A State Baseball quarterfinals, the Elk City Elks, Chickasha Fighting Chicks. I said it as soon as the game was over. It was a weird game. Weird things happened throughout. Starting from the very beginning, it felt weird. The Elks leave 11 runners on base, had multiple runners in like 5 of the 8 innings, were only able to muster 2 runs in the 5th. And you look at Chickasha, they had 3 chances to score runs in the 1st inning, the 6th inning, in the 8th inning, and they scored a run in every single one of those innings. They did not squander a single chance. You knew going into that game they weren't going to have very many of them.
No.
And they took advantage of every single one of them. Some of it they're doing, some of it on the Elks. I know the balk call that tied the game in the bottom of the 6th inning will be discussed throughout history.
For years, yeah.
I didn't see anything out of the ordinary from what was allowed from the first pitch till that pitch. It's an incredibly ballsy call to make to tie a game in the 6th inning, but it was made, and there's nothing you can do about it. And at the end of the day, the Elk City Elks simply were too sloppy to win that game. If you come out and you get hits with runners on base and you do what you've done or what you're supposed to do, none of that matters. There isn't a pop-up in the infield in the bottom of the 8th to go wrong because the game's over and you're playing at 1:30 today. And unfortunately, the truth is the overriding theme to this season and the question mark to this season as far as what the Elks can get done, meaning win it all, get there. The question was always, can they get hits against good pitching in key situations? And unfortunately, yesterday, the answer was no.
And baseball's funny because we saw all the funny things that happened. And on top of that, I thought they hit the ball hard. It just went straight to defenders, straight to outfielders. I mean, they hit them. It wasn't pop flies to the outfielders. They're line drive shots. Straight, and so that's baseball. Sometimes that just happens, and you're just trying to hit the gap, and you're trying to hit it hard, and they hit it hard. It just went straight to defenders, and that kept happening, and it just kept Chickasha in it, you know. So yeah, but shouldn't overshadow the fact of a great season, and in particular, a great season for Mayfield. You're about to speak too.
Yeah, I mean, listen. His season was unbelievable. Let's see. What are the numbers? He faced 26 yesterday, so he faced 143 hitters. Struck out 18 more, so that's 115 out of 143. He ends up giving up 4 hits, 2 runs, one of them earned, throughout the entirety of the 44 innings he pitched. So it's a hit every 11 innings. You know, a run every 22, an earned run every 44. You know, he was absolutely fantastic. And I know there's been a lot of conversation about, okay, where, you know, how often do you see a guy like this? Well, this is the first time ever.
Pitching, yeah.
It's the first time ever. So however many years that the game of baseball has been played at the high school level in Elk City, this is it. Now, have there been good arms? Absolutely. Nothing like this. Nothing. And that fact will be bared out here in a month or whatever when he's selected where he gets selected in the Major League Baseball draft. And that's just the truth of it. He will go down, at least right now, he will go down as the best pitcher, if not player, in the history of Elk City Baseball. And that's a mouthful with some guys that have run through here. But we have never seen anybody affect the game the way that he is able to affect the game. on the mound. And then, and then quite honestly, there wasn't a whole bunch of people that were looking forward to throw to pitching to him either with in big spots. Take your chances with somebody else.
Right.
So I think it'll be interesting because I'm sure people that don't have any idea what's going on out here, obviously the Oklahoman, I wonder if that guy that wrote that article about the who players to watch, I wonder if he was able to watch. Because if he was, he'd go, huh. Looking around yesterday going, well, somebody there's somebody here that people want to watch. Because the place is overflowing with folks. And then that happened. 18 more Ks in 7 innings. Might have been a decent outing.
And then when he came out, there's a lot of seats open in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of those guys didn't care who won the game.
They didn't. They left.
It was over.
Those scouts left.
But I was thinking about this on the drive home, and I thought about it, and I am not saying anything. Here's the deal. Could this be a Peyton Manning situation for Elk City Baseball? What I mean by that is, think about how much of the oxygen at the University of Tennessee that Peyton Manning sucked in just because of who he was and how good he was throughout his 4 years at the University of Tennessee. What happened the year after he left?
They won it, didn't they?
They won the national title.
Yeah.
They were probably they weren't as good a team, and they certainly didn't have as good a quarterback.
Nobody thought they'd win it because of losing him, yeah.
And when I say that because of this, yes, it's going to be a huge, huge, huge loss not having that guy to go out there in the first game of every district series, in the first game, whenever you want him to, and dominate the way he's dominated. At the same time, Big Elk Baseball is going nowhere. They're going absolutely nowhere.
I was asked yesterday by a reporter at the game about that. So what's baseball going to be like at Elk when after this season? I said, listen,
we'll see you next year.
Some young kids that are they don't know how to lose. They've won at a high level in their respected classes, whether it be OK Kids or Kids Inc. or wherever. And they're still together, and they're still playing together, and they're coming up through the junior high ranks, and it's not going anywhere.
No, we'll see you. If it's here next year, we'll see you next year right here on Thursday of the state tournament. I fully believe that. I think everybody in that program fully expects that to happen with what's coming back. Now, you lose some guys. There's no doubt about it. You look out there yesterday with Cash and with Max and with Rylan and with Riley. You know, you've got guys that have been huge parts of this team this season and for seasons before. But you still have a nucleus of guys that now there's going to have to be some younger ones probably step up into a different role, you know, on the varsity level. Or some guys that were just off the playing field this year that get their chance next year. I would imagine if health returns for a full season, you'll see guys playing in different positions as well. Maybe more where they're more accustomed to playing. I mean, when you look around at the defensive alignment yesterday, you had a third baseman playing first. You had a catcher playing third. You had a second baseman playing short. You had a right fielder playing second. And a majority of those guys will be back and back to where they belong or where they're more accustomed to playing with health. Mm-hmm. If health is – it kind of shines bright on the Elks, which it certainly didn't throughout most of this year. So, I mean, it was a – I think the word I would use, like, after we left there yesterday, it was just stunned. Stunned with the way the game played out, mm-hmm. Stunned with how the game was lost, and just quite frankly stunned to see Elk City lose a game that Cash started. I mean, with way,
yeah,
you know, when it was 2-1 going into the sixth, I was like, well, that's a wrap.
Yeah,
we're gonna wiggle off the hook and we're gonna play tomorrow, and better play better tomorrow. And the truth is that all season long, and I'm sure it's hard to avoid this complacency almost with him out there, but if you go back and look, the offense wasn't very good when he pitched. And I'm sure it's because you think to yourself, all we got to do is score one.
Yeah. Thank you. That's going to be an easy day today.
Just get one.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a sense of relax. I don't know what the word to use. For next year, I don't know. But there's no replacing Cash Mayfield.
No.
But there won't be this incredible drop-off in talent either.
Well,
I'm saying this trying not to throw shade at the seniors that are done.
Or
Cash himself. But I'm saying this in compliment of what the program has become. And there will be a lot of people outside of this dang county that will think, oh, well, they'll take a step back now. There's no way they can get back to state for a fourth year in a row. There's no way they can win this district again.
Yeah. And
quite frankly, Big Elks, if you're listening, let them think that. You want them to think that. Because then you can go prove them wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you right now, we'll be there. Next that Thursday next year, the quarterfinals, the Elks will be there, trying again to climb that mountain.
Hopefully not that noble, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, OSSA, could we mix in a venue that has enough seats, even like half enough seats?
Maybe that a little bit more press box room.
I thought ours was fine. Considered it's baseball. I don't know if we're going to get better than that, most generally. I know what you mean, but listen. I'm just glad we weren't outside.
Could
have been that poor guy from Chickasha that was right up against the backstop.
I think he wanted to be there. I really do. I think he wanted to be back there. But
I'd rather not be in him.
We only got like 7 minutes. I don't want to get started.
Well, don't get started, Jerry.
I'm not going to get started on why the OSSA is muscling out the media.
On a final note, just to wrap it up, here are the numbers for Mayfield on the mound for his career. 21-2. He gave up 33 hits to 491 hitters. 26 runs, only 12 of those were earned. He walked 46 and struck out 325. 325 out of 491 that he faced on the mound in the brown and white went down via the strikeout. Everybody's got their favorite. Everybody's got the guy they played with, and there's been a bunch of good ones. I'm not telling anybody that their guy isn't good that played here. But I am telling you, your guy ain't that one.
Pure. Where does he rank? And you can answer this question. I can't. I'm not from here. You are. Other alums can. Where does he rank in all-time athletes?
Well, that's funny you said that, because I've been thinking about, you know, during COVID, we did the Mount Rushmore of athletes in Elk City or in Hammond, or everybody brought in their own opinions on their own schools.
Right.
It would be pretty damn hard to keep him off there.
Depends how you weigh it, but absolutely.
Be pretty hard.
Depends how somebody would weigh that. But yeah, he'll be up there with the all-time greats as a big elk.
Yeah, as a pitcher, there's no doubt. Domination is in pitching.
Yeah.
He is by far the best. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the high school sports season for everybody in Western Oklahoma. Kind of our highlights, What to look forward to next year. Skinny on Sports on a Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
The Skinny on Sports.
There's no crying in baseball.
Welcome back. Garrison Financial Friday right here on the Skinny on Sports. Wrapping it up for the week on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. You know, it'd be a pretty sweet place to go to this afternoon, Jared?
I could think of a lot of places.
Well, I'm going to tell you the best one. The Boomtown Grill.
Yeah.
Happy hour 2 to 6, 12 big screen televisions, appetizer plates, drink specials. There's 11 beers on tap, 30 bottled and canned beers available, imports and domestics, large wine selection. The house favorite drink is the smoked old fashioned, classic cocktail with a modern seasonal smoky twist. Pizza, pastas. I'm sure they were slammed last night with the Thunder game and the 50 cent chicken wing special on Thursdays. If you want steak, they've got it. Chicken, they've got it. Salads, they've got those as well. Burgers, sandwiches, everything. 2103 South Main. Boomtown Grill right here in Elk City. Open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, and 11 to 11 tonight and tomorrow night. So, what, now that, I mean, season's done, it's officially over, right? For, well, I guess there's soccer tonight for Clinton and Weatherford, but as far as it goes for us and the schools we cover and really the area we covered outside of the soccer games. And oh, well, there's tennis. Landry will have tennis updates on Big Elk TV. Video updates from the boys' tennis tournament. So kind of reflect, what were some of the highlights for you over the high school sports season?
Well, you know, just – it's hard to narrow down just one. You know, and go back to the fall and another successful run for Big Elk football program, albeit not to a semifinal, but still winning and winning at a high level. And getting to the playoffs again, which should be the norm now around here, getting to the playoffs. That's always exciting and fun to follow. You know, I mean, I can only go with my what I look at, what I'm seeing every day. You know, Canute basketball is a lot of fun this year and seeing their growth. I wasn't sure what to expect from the girls program, losing the three seniors, and there they were a game away from state again. And it just feels like they're about to break through, and then the boys with the young squad that grew up in front of me. And then the other schools around here, Hammond girls run, Hammond boys vastly improved. I can go on and on. I'm just trying to narrow it down to one. What about you? I'm sure you have some in mind.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the small school state tournament is always a blast. Mm-hmm. You know, isn't it weird how it feels like, you know, for the couple of teams that were true state title contenders, the first thing and the first question that was asked after their losses, and this is just the way it goes sometimes in close games, but was that a foul? You know, on Henley.
Yeah.
Was that a balk? You know, on Cash. It's just weird how, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but it those just were the questions this year. But the small school state tournament is always a thing. I'm looking forward. You know, yesterday was just so stunning. I never in my mind thought we weren't going to be in Noble today.
Yeah.
And then see if the Elks could to climb that semifinal mountain to play tomorrow in Bricktown. And so it's like almost just like have turned my brain off thinking about this year because I don't want to because we're not going today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like looking like forward only.
I don't know how I didn't think of this.
I mean,
being there watching the Merritt girls win the title was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was a highlight.
Carrying
that flag for Western Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
That was really cool. That was exciting and all of that. That was a fun run. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, the problem I was going through was thinking of the almost, like you just mentioned, was it a foul, wasn't it? Was it a balk, wasn't it? And just the almost. But it shouldn't overshadow the fact, well, Hammond was in the state tournament, and Elk City was in the state tournament in baseball, and there's merit winning it in 2A and coming in, ranked third. And they met the expectation. We talk about expectations for teams starting the season, and there was that expectation for the Merritt Oilerettes.
Be in the state tournament and see what happens.
What happens, and they got there, and they took it home. That was pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're the team of the year. You know, if you give that to the the ESPYs here,
right, yeah,
and the Paragon teams, they are without a doubt the team of the year. This year.
And how about the Merritt boys with that run that they had? Mm-hmm. That was the one I couldn't think of. Like, what was that team that made that crazy run in the playoffs and got to the state tournament? That was the Merritt boys, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, outside of maybe our broadcast group, but Granite.
Yeah.
Granite boys making it to the state, first time since 1970? Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You know, that's unbelievable. You know, there was a bunch of those. It was like the small school state tournament this year was like some streaks were broken, good and bad, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, Fort Cobb, first time they didn't make the boys basketball state tournament in like 14 years. But then there's Granite for the first time in 54, whatever it was, you know. So it was a lot of different, 1970. Yeah, 54. That's my brain was kind of locked up there for a second. But like looking forward, I don't know. I think maybe the team that I exceeded. It was hard to say. It's hard not to say the Merritt boys because you know that kind of that came out of nowhere as far as a state tournament appearance. But I'll tell you this: the Elkettes exceeded expectations in a big way for a young team. And that maybe of all the teams that I'm looking forward to and seeing that next step and if it can be taken, I think it's probably them for me. At least I'm kind of racking my brain through for the Elk City teams. Of course, it'll be a new era in Big Elk basketball with Coach Fole taking over and see what he can get done early on. But you know, I think it's probably too complacent to say this, but you know, at this point, you assume Zach's guys are going to be good. They're going to be in the chase for a district title come football season. You assume Jay's guys are going to be good, and they're going to be headed toward, the state tournament. So then you talk about the basketball, and it's going to be new on the boys' side, and it's still fairly young, but a young group that's played a bunch now to see what gets done next year. For Coach Ham and the girls, so that's kind of looking ahead. You know, there's the same teams as always. You know, I think early on, depending on what happens this summer, you know, the softball, Elk City softball has got a bunch of those girls that have played a lot of really high-level softball throughout their lives, and now they're getting into the upperclassmen. And whatever else happens, that could be – you know, they'll be trying to get to the fast pitch state tournament for the first time in school history. And that's something to watch early. Obviously, with what we saw with Canute baseball when it rolls around to the fall, That's a team that's going to be all those sophomores will be juniors. Yeah. That's right. And they'll get a whole, you know, a whole another summer of whatever. You know, that's going to be one of those teams that you're looking forward to seeing what they can do. Obviously, there's softball everywhere. Lots of good softball teams all over the place.
Good program. Yeah.
Leedy, Canute, yeah. Cheyenne. You know, the Cheyenne girls.
Cheyenne.
Softball has been coming with the, you know, the summertime teams.
I know. Believe me. Basketball. I mentioned the Canute girls. Coach Redling's going to get a couple of those junior high girls. That junior high team is really good. He's going to get some of those eighth graders that I think will be contributors onto this team next year with the team that has still Destiny Jackson and Kendall Schuster. So that's keep an eye on them too.
No doubt.
Yeah, there ain't a lot of good basketball around here. Man. We always say that.
Yeah,
it's small school is awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned the Hammond boys getting better.
Oh, yeah.
Intrigued to see what that looks like in the coming up in the next winter and just how big a leap they can make.
You know, what's the – you know, we just saw the end of a fantastic career, high school career with Cash Mayfield. We're about to see the senior season of Henley West.
Yeah.
What's that season going to look like?
That's right.
Over at Hammond.
That's exactly right.
You know, what's Coach Beer do with Lee girls? Can she? You know she will. She'll get them better.
Yeah, it's kind of their year. Some of those really young ones are now going to be. It's going to be their time. As always, it's going to be fun. Yep. I mean, we know there's going to be.
We have felt like after that last state tournament that this upcoming year or next 2 years, we're going to see a lot of representation. I think. And this is the next March.
Last
go
one.
Around in the Big
That's exactly right. That may be the overriding answer to what to look forward to. Everybody have a great Friday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.